asthma. It's normal in Auckland.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Celine. How are you this morning?
Kia ora, I'm well.
It's good to have you here. We've had some texts in from the listeners about their renting situations. We've got a lot of people who are moving out of houses at the moment. It must be the start of that kind of end of the year flatting exodus that tends to happen. So we'll get stuck into a few of these questions. Someone's texted in to say, I've done some minor work on the place I rent. I've replaced a couple of door handles that fell off due to wear and tear. It's a very old house, and I put up new curtains as the old ones were truly gross and falling to bits. This was all out of my own pocket. I'm moving out soon. Am I within my rights to take these things with me? It might seem a bit petty, but they're quite nice and I did pay for them. Not sure what the deal is with this sort of thing.
Okay, this is a really good question because I think it speaks kind of generally to when we have kind of a lack of strong tenancy law allowing us to stay in a place. The investments we make in making it a really nice place to live are kind of, they can disappear. Mm. This is kind of a tricky one in that it's probably to do with the idea of chattels on the property. And how that is defined is that chattels are things that are, they're not something that is legally required. So ovens and things come with the property. You need to have a working oven, etc.
Yeah.
But chattels are kind of extra things. So like you've got curtains come under that, things like washing machine, your whiteware, furniture. And then that doesn't include things that are fixed to the building. So the doorknobs would be fixed to the building.
Yeah.
Whereas then the curtain would be like a kind of chattel. So the trouble is, I think, you with the doorknobs and things like that, it's really their responsibility to repair and maintain things like that. So I think you're kind of stuck when you've invested in it yourself. So I might want to, advise you to check with like the Tenants Protection Association on things like that. But I would think the trouble is if you've replaced the curtains, you could probably take your curtains, but you'd have to still have the chattel curtains that they had left for you.
Right.
So if you've still got those, I think it's just important to be careful of things like that. If you're improving the property, but you can't revert it back to the state it was in before, you can get into this like kind of tricky place.
Yeah.
So I would just make sure you are kind of aware of the difference between kind of chattels, fixtures in the house. The chattels should also be listed in the tenancy agreement. So if the curtains are on there, then you're going to need to provide them their old curtains back, and then you can take your new ones. So
nice.
It's kind of a few specifics there, but definitely something to be aware of before you're investing money in certain things in the property. Though we wish we could, it was easier. There are some like legal things there.
I definitely have done that with a few flats where we had some manky ass curtains and we just put them in a cupboard and in a bag so they didn't get mankier than they already were.
replace them back at the end.
I mean, there's also perhaps if you are moving into a house and it's got manky curtains, you can have that conversation with your property manager and see if they'll just replace it. And then you don't have to have your mouldy curtains up.
Those curtains are manky.
100%. Yeah. And if the chattels as well, if they say that we've got a fridge here and we want you to, make sure it's still working and maintain it properly, but you have a fridge you're bringing in, then you can argue at the beginning of the tenancy that you want your own fridge and you're not going to be responsible for theirs. You're bringing in your own one and then you'll be taking it when you go. So it's good to have these conversations at the beginning as well, definitely.
Totally. What else have we got here, Zoe?
This person says, hey, Celine, we're moving out of our flat and the property manager wants us to cover the veggie garden we made up. I understand that he can ask us to do that, but it feels very stupid since it's a really abundant garden. Do you think it's worthwhile asking him if the new tenants want the garden there or not? We can cover it if they don't want it, but considering the garden was there when they viewed the house, they might actually be keen on it. What do you reckon?
That is very sad. I can only imagine finding a flat and viewing it with a garden and then coming to move in and it's been like
grass seeded. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think kind of like obviously sad in general and kind of you to want the new tenants to have a look at it. The trouble is the communication with them might be a bit difficult. I would say 100% worth it. It's just I guess it's up to the property manager if they have the kindness in their heart to have that communication. But I think it would be good to try and press them to say, well, they saw it, they came and looked at it, and that's their expectation.
Mm.
So you're kind of advocating for the next tenant, but also probably leaving your property a little bit happier knowing that the garden's still there.
Yeah.
So I would say there's nothing to stop you asking. You should definitely tell the property manager that one of the tenants mentioned how much they love the garden when they have this there. Or try and do something to convince them to at least check.
And then
it saves you trouble.
What's the deal with putting in a garden? Do you have to ask your property manager if you're going to, you know, dig up a little bit of the grass and stick in some carrots or something?
Yeah, I think so, I'm afraid. It is quite an interesting realm to think about in that there isn't really that... There's a lot of kind of stuff about in the interior of the house, what you can do, but
yeah.
What people are allowed to do in the gardens is a little bit different, or that there's less kind of talking about it, but it is very much like you need to maintain it to the standard it was when you came in, and I guess that means probably checking if you're going to do anything like that. But unfortunately, you kind of can't just do it, I believe. A lot of people probably have done it and got away with it, but I would, I guess, check. And you can always revert it back if they really hate the idea of it, but it is unfortunate that it's not. You kind of don't have full agency to do what you would like to do with the property you're renting in terms of the land outside, but you know, that's a good question.
That old chestnut again, eh?
Absolutely.
Well, we have got another person who's moving out. It must be the start of that sort of time of the year. Someone says, for Celine, we're all tenants on our lease and moving out next month. One of the people I live with melted a hole in their carpet. Don't ask, lol. But they're being a dick about taking on the financial responsibility for that. What can the rest of us do? We don't want to lose our bonds over his dumb move.
That is very stressful. Okay, so you're all signed on to the tenancy agreement. That's kind of the first one. You've kind of got a shared responsibility already, which is good in a way. The other thing, I feel like a lot of my advice today is like retroactive. It's like, do you already have a flat agreement? Because this is where that's really useful. Then you can kind of hold them to account. I guess it really depends on your relationship with them, but trying to sort it out before you get the landlord involved or your property manager involved with getting the bond back is a good idea, surely.
Yep.
And that seems like that is the problem. They could not give the whole bond back, and then it would kind of be the battle with the flatmate to ensure that they're the one losing that money, not the rest of the flat. So if it becomes a dispute between different tenants, then you've got the disputes tribunal as your option for that, but that's not really something everyone wants to get to. So
no.
I would just hopefully you have something in writing already, but I know most of us don't, so just I feel like you need some kind of mediation, maybe someone else to come in and do some convincing.
Yeah,
but good to try and do that before you get the actual bond situation or the final property inspection happening. But I'm afraid I don't have any great advice. You might know someone else who's gone through a similar process, or someone who's a friend of theirs that can sweet talk them, but it might be a different kind of tactic.
So with a flat agreement, that's different from a tenancy agreement. Obviously, in this scenario, all these people are signed on to the tenancy agreement. That's between them and each other and the property manager or the landlord. What is the difference with a flat agreement, and why would you have both in this scenario?
So the tenancy agreement is about kind of relationship with the landlord. So if having the flatmate agreement is really to deal with any responsibilities within that flat. So I'm not entirely sure legally if, for example, everyone signed their tenancy agreement for specific rooms in the house. If that melted carpet in one room, you might get a landlord or a property manager who will just then have that dispute over that with that tenant.
Yeah.
But I would worry that you'd all kind of get roped into it a little bit. So it's really just, the flatmate agreement is to ensure that you have some kind of legal document that helps you to make sure everyone shares responsibility. And if you have something like this where it is one person's fault, you kind of have something to say, oh, well, we all agreed this is, you know, our responsibility, and we've shared it and we've signed. These are our expectations for this flatting agreement, because the landlord can get involved with those inter-tenant relations, but they're not really supposed to, and it might be easier to be organising that yourself. If you get into any disputes from that, then it is not the tenancy tribunal you go to, but the disputes tribunal. So it's a different kind of realm.
Gotcha.
Between tenants. Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying that one there, and thanks for answering those questions. We'll put all the links, useful places to go, advocacy websites in the podcast as we always do. Have a great rest of your day, Celine. We'll talk to you soon.
See you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.